Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Well, I think I remember who I am. This is Will Bluewater, and want to wish everybody, I'll just give you what I usually say, and I'm just kind of stupid right now. I've been so busy today. I'm fine. How are you? And our guest this evening is Solomon Wawai. And without further ado, I'll say Buzu Anishina.
Hey. Great, great.
Great, great. Yeah, well, we're all crazy here, so that works. Well, anyway, from a young age, Solomon of the Anishinaabe Traditional Council Elders was initiated into traditional Algonquin activities by his mother, grandmother, and father. In other words, he's a real Indian. And these people have transmitted to him the art of tanning hides, making sinew, moccasins, snowshoes, paddles, etc., and, of course, hunting, fishing, trapping. Solomon lives as part of a community. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's an off-grid First Nation settlement that's north of Montreal. Anyway, welcome to the program. We've got Mark the Badger with us. And first thing Badger would like to do, he would like to do a Mayan birth reading on you. And our guests all are really surprised at just how accurate it is. Well, anyway, yeah, let's see how it goes. I think you'll really be surprised. Go ahead, Badger.
Well, I need to get the date.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
June 1958.
Do you know what day? June 12th, yeah. Right.
June 12th, okay. Just give me a second. 1958. Interesting year, 1958. Okay, so in the traditional Mayan day count, you're born on the fourth day of the Dzogchen, which is 4 Khan. And the 4 kind of symbolizes a balancing the 4 energies, you know, wind, water, earth, and fire. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, obviously also the 4 directions as well. And then the glyph tends to point to things that are kind of a little bit hidden. You might found yourself in your life kind of digging around, fishing around, finding things, uncovering things, stuff like that, planting a few things along the way, like seeds, both, kind of both, you know, planting and digging up stuff, both. And it's a, also that particular glyph, sometimes in the Mayan thing, it looks like the symbol kind of, the con kind of looks like a seed being planted in the ground. Usually most people think of it as a corn seed, and also would tie in that particular glyph sometimes because that would tie in with the star system of the Pleiades, which would be Zaber Mots in their language, which means Mots means like a handful of seeds, you know, like the Pleiades look like a bunch of corn seeds tossed up in the sky, sort of. And so we'll look now, and then we'll do a reading with the 6th Sun Dzogchen. And it's going to have 3 parts to it: a forward flow of time, the way we normally look at time; backward flow of time, the part we don't see with our senses, but we can pick up on with our psychic senses; and then where these 2 time flows come together and create a zero point or a balancing point. So we'll take the forward flow of time, the way we look at time normally, first. And for you, it's one word pretty much describes it: peace.
Hope.
So probably indicates, you know, that's what you're born. Probably been doing stuff along those lines pretty much your whole life, probably before you even got in here into Earth realm. You know, probably, you know, and it's the first day of the cycle too, so it sets the tone for the whole cycle. So it's you were not only born on the peace glyph in the 6th sun, you were born on in the peace, the day that starts that cycle, a peace cycle in the 6th sun. So it has a lot to do with peace, hope, the intention of it, the power of using the intention to focus peace as being the primary intention and have it grow and expand from there. It has a partnering energy that's a very important one, and those energies have to do with soul, joy, and then the key one, probably forgiveness. So, because it's really through the forgiveness, right, that we achieve peace. Because people don't forgive each other for all the crap that we've done to each other, then we're pretty much never going to have peace. So you probably have had a big role in that, probably going forward your whole life. On the backward flow of time, the one we don't see normally, and one that probably in recent years has been getting maybe stronger in your life, or showing up, I shouldn't necessarily say stronger, but showing up a little bit more maybe, say from usually say around year 1997, 1998, somewhere a little bit before after that, around that time frame. And it's about loyalty, heart, good virtues, bring everything together, uniting everything. So this would be more pulling in towards like the center of a medicine wheel, right? And just a very strong thing about oneness, bringing things together as one. It's on a, in the, their glyph, it's the kind of, sometimes called the dog glyph, or so it relates in the Aztec thing and Quetzalcoatl to Xuatl, his partner, our sidekick, which is takes the souls, leads the souls when they die through the underworld. So he's kind of like the seeing eye dog for people that died. So he's kind of your glyph here, and he and the second part of this that kind of goes in is this particular cycles. The sitting inside of us actually has a lot to do with dreaming, dreams, dream time, intuition. You might have had above normal interest here recently in being in some caves or kivas or sweat lodges or anything that's kind of down in the earth. It might have been showing up here recently quite a bit. And maybe dreams, probably, you know, might be ones that's teaching the things about heart and bringing everything and uniting everything together. And an element here probably of moving kind of outside the normal realm of time and kind of mystical, what we'd call mystical stuff, mystical experiences or whatever may be involved in that too, or maybe showing up. But I'd say look to your dreams, go hang out in the cave or kiva or somewhere underground or sweat lodge or something like that. You'll probably get a lot out of it here if you've not already been doing that. So now these two time flows come together. And
yeah, listen to the dog too.
They create a balance or a zero point. And this is where the things that help you to move through world cycles and changes, but also bring other people with you. And yours is all about, again, kind of digging into things, unveiling things, things that have to do with transformation. So I wouldn't be surprised if you've been digging around a lot, learning about things, how the things change, transform, both not just physically, but almost on a divine level, liberation of things through that. And a little bit, maybe a little bit of things showing up about, you know, having to make a few sacrifices to do that, kind of dwelling, looking back on things, reflecting on things. But a lot of this seems to be geared towards also a very active component or action, getting things done, having something happen. So it's not all just, you know, spiritual blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, rubber meets the road. Let's get something done. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it looks like you have this has a ability to really influence and help your, not just through yourself and your own kind of escape or liberation of yourself, but that bringing other people with you. You know, setting the tone or the example or whatever, that, you know, other people will be really motivated by seeing you do that. Okay?
Yeah.
Oh. Does that resonate with you? Does it sound like your past?
Yeah, it resonates. A lot of it resonates with me. And Where did you get that stuff? Just curious.
Well, it comes. Yeah. The first reading I did was with the current Mayan Zolk'in using the traditional Mayan day count. The second reading with the forward, backward flow and stuff like that comes from a sixth sun Zolk'in, which is a growth or an extension of the Mayan Zolk'in. So they're basically take your date and takes and converts the date you were born into the date or the time place within those Zolk'in calendars. Another way you would describe them is you could say instead of a calendar, you could say each day in those Zolk'in calendars is kind of like a musical note. So in a way, what we're doing is we're looking up where you were born in the song. And like any song, a musical note is a certain place in the song, and at that point in the song is singing about something. You know, it has certain energies, certain characteristics, whatever the message is. And so what I'm kind of doing is taking your birthday and looking into the song to where, at what point you were born and what the song is singing about. And all that stuff I told you is stuff mm-hmm. that the song is singing about at the time you were born. that's mm-hmm. a way of saying it, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's also a good way to, because your Mayan birthday rolls around about every 9 months, it's a good way to schedule or look forward to and figure out what's a good time to go out on the mountain. And when you do, you need to go out. We haven't talked about this in quite a while. Probably ought to do this every show. You find your Mayan birthday, you find the center of night, and you want to make sure that after the center of night, which is halfway between sunset and sunrise, you want to be out and in your circle, and or sometime before sunrise. You know, depends on how long you think it's going to take you to get a vision. I mean, with me, it only took 10 minutes, and I was it was after sunrise, and I had to. It was kind of in an industrial area, and it was near a lake, and I actually set up my circle in the car and the truck because I couldn't get out. A lot of traffic there, and I was told that was a good place for me to go. It's called Carlos Barrios calls it a quintessence. It's a good place to go, and just set up my circle with four colors and lit a candle, or you can go all out and make a circle, put a blanket down, get in the circle, you know, fire whatever you want to do. But you want to have a circle with, four divisions, four colors, or whatever your belief, whatever your beliefs are. Some traditional Cherokees will probably do seven colors. Anyway, it's a good time to seek a vision. Go ahead.
This next
ahead.
One, Otter.
Yeah.
The next date that it's going to come up on him for his birth that's going to go in alignment is going to be on July 12th, 2017. That'll be the next time that happens.
Okay, July 12th. The day would begin the evening before, right? Would he go out the evening?
Yeah, you can do
okay.
that, yeah.
So the after sundown on the 11th, you want to go out, or at least plan on being out, after midnight probably, my first introduction to this whole thing, I didn't even know it was in play, but back in the spring solstice of 98, I was told something by spirit, and there was a very dramatic fulfillment of what I was told. And then I found out years later that was my birthday. Mayan birthday was not only my Mayan birthday, but it was the beginning of something called the week. I'm a 9-eek, and I was told that it was the beginning of the week of 9-eek. And not sure what that means. That was something I read that Aluna Joy, who knows quite a bit about the calendar, but I had a very interesting experience with it. And then my friend Robert Shrewsbury explained to me what was going on because Carlos Barrios taught him. And Carlos wrote a book on Mayan astrology in Spanish. And there isn't anything like it in English that I know of. There's at least one book that's been written by, I believe, a white author. But it would be nice to have a translation of Barrios' book. But anyway, hey, you know, the time's yours. You know, tell us about, you know, your path. You know, whatever. You know, just kind of go into the spirit and just tell us whatever Creator is telling you to tell us, if you would.
When I see the development of evolution of time at the moment, it's like reading a book. Like I'm reading a book that I've learned 48 years ago. So right now, through the Medellin Lodge teachings, they talked about a little boy, and that little boy was taught by seven grandfathers, and that's the water drum, which represents the birth of a great nation, the human nation. So there was an elder, I think it was Cherokee. He wrote a book. The book he wrote was The Prophecy of the Rainbow Warriors. And the Rainbow Warriors is their time now to stand up with Standing Rock. So
absolutely.
We don't know. Pardon?
I was going to say absolutely. And funny you should mention Cherokee, because I know a fellow who is Cherokee who grew up in the Upper Peninsula, and guess what? I think he was in prison a while with some of your cousins, and I think they initiated him. He was a level one Meduin medicine man. I had my first eagle feather blessing with him. So his name's Ron. I forget his last name, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, in the stories of the two big snakes who were waiting for the little boy, and at that time there will be certain people who will have contact with star beings. And now the star beings are coming out. They're making themselves more evident. And the Star Lodge is coming back. When the European brothers came upon the shore of Turtle Island, they scrape all the medicines to the west. So finally, the medicines are coming back. And the Medellin from the Minnesota area gave back to the Innus, the Medellin Lodge. And every other places, the water drum is sounding the beat. So that means that the turtle is, the medicine is going back, and the people are getting ready for, you see, in another prophecy, there was a white wampum belt that's carried by the Haudenosaunee and the Anishinaabe. And I've seen the white mat. It's a white wampum about roughly 12 inches wide, 4 feet long. And that wampum reminds us to wipe away the dust gathered on the wampum. So, deal with outstanding issues. And they're supposed to be done pretty soon. So when that happens, all the confederacies are going to unite. The Three Fires Confederacy, the Abenaki Confederacy, and they have made deals with the Cherokee. And the Lakotas originally, but they're going to have to reestablish the language of the wampum, because the wampums are writings, are treaty writings. So treaty is the strongest point of law when you talk about treaty. So we're going to have to reestablish that as a people and become one again with the newcomers. Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so, yeah, you. There's talk that I've read that there's a move worldwide to take a real close look at the Guyana Shigawa, the Haudenosaunee Great Law, and the United States Constitution had some input from the Great Law, thanks to Benjamin Franklin and some other people, and but they weren't quite ready to. Some of the whites laughed at and called it a petticoat government, but turns out there isn't a much better way to rule than let women call quite a few of the shots, because they're they may be physically weaker, but they're spiritually stronger than we are, and they're not afraid. If a chief becomes corrupt, they're not afraid to have him hoodwinked and thrown in the back of a pickup truck and taken to the edge of the reserve and dumped off in a ditch and told not to come back.
Yeah.
That's how they roll.
It's in our way.
Yeah,
it's in our way.
And if a student, I know in the Zuni Reservation, if a student isn't doing well in school, flunking out, the elders or the parents, and say, okay, you guys got to move off the res because you're not doing your job. And they got to leave for a year. And that kid's got to do good in the white schools before he's allowed to come back. So they're ruthless. And you got to be.
Yeah. That's the way Mother Earth chose us.
Yeah, and nature is ruthless, and but there's a kindness to it, and in the long run, and but yeah, go ahead, and didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, tell us what spirit's telling you.
What he said about me emanating peace. when he mentioned that a while ago.
Yep.
I was in Montreal one day, and I met a woman. She named her son Solomon. Okay. So I asked her, why did you name your son Solomon? And I don't know if it's Hebrew or come from a Hebrew name. Solomon is a derivative of Shalem, which means peace.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
and
correct.
I like he said, like if I'm emotionally correct, or I'm physically correct, or I'm mentally correct, or I'm spiritually correct, then I feel good about my decision. So all of them has to agree. And we met Cree elder from Northern Cree from us. And originally we had met a person that was done is performing his Shaking Tent ceremony. And he came over to us, and this little girl come over to us, and he said, I got a song for you. And okay, let's hear it, you know, like, so she sang about the Northern Lights. Wawate, that's my last name. Wawate, she sang that song. After this, she sang that song. The drum exploded like a gunshot.
Whoa.
And we asked the old man, what do you think happened? We told him. He says, I think my drum has done his work. He says, he needs to rest now. So after that, we met that Northern Cree. And he says, what does Wawate mean to you? I wanted to know what it meant to others. So he says, that's the spirit of our grandfathers and grandmothers dancing around the medicine wheel to keep the balance. Now, I'm just repeating what the guy said in the beginning about being centered. So that's what I do. Pardon?
Hey, I was going to say, there's a lot of Cherokees that have Wat or Wati or Wate, and in our language it means the ancient one. So it means the same thing in our language as it does in yours.
Interesting. Very interesting.
See, we look at your people as the grandfathers, and it's always been that way. So this had to be some kind of language, cultural pass through, and. But, yeah, that's what the Cherokees call Algonquin people, the grandfathers.
Wow. Wow. Oh, on 2017 on the 12th, you mentioned something about that.
Oh, July, what was it, Mark, did you say July 12th?
Yeah.
July of this year will be your, it'll be your next Mayan birthday, which comes around about every 9 months, because the Mayan calendar runs about 9 months. So your next opportunity maybe if you're going to do like a really special ceremony, if you need to really go into spirit or be in a place where spirit can really talk with you, that'd be a good, the night of the 11th until sunrise on the 12th, be a good time to do it.
Yeah, funny, it lands on that date. That's where my older brother, he passed away this fall. He passed away this fall, and his birthday is on July 11th.
Yeah, it's a really interesting way. Go ahead, Mark. I know you want to.
Well, no, I just thought it was interesting what he's bringing up, the connections there. You find that a lot in looking at this, and I can tie it back into what you said about the Northern Lights and the ancestors and the spirits dancing and stuff, because it relates to that too as well. One of the unique things on the Mayan calendar, and why I don't just call it a calendar but a song, is it's using very specific numbers that relate to something we call the Fibonacci sequence, which is a way of defining another thing that we call the golden ratio. And that ratio is all found all over your body. You look at your finger, the end of your finger, from there to your first knuckle, then the second knuckle. That's a mathematical relationship there. It's in seashells, spirals, and everything. And the Mayan calendar uses that. It's the only one that I know that does. And so it connects it into a fundamental aspect of creation, of how Creator does things. Now, the magnetic fields of the planet, which determine the aura, sort of the northern lights, are also connected into that as well, because they connect into the sun, and then the particles and stuff that form those magnetic fields and the energies and stuff are actually everywhere. It's going to move according to those same mathematics and geometry. So, and that those magnetic fields of the planet, which cause those northern lights, they're operating at certain frequencies. And those frequencies are the same as human brainwave frequencies, around 4, 6, and 8 hertz. Some of those frequencies, I think around, they're delta, theta, and whatever, but some of those are actually at frequencies that are subconscious, so they're more active, like when you're dreaming and stuff, right? Or maybe in a ceremony. So your brainwave frequencies literally are operating at the same frequency as the magnetic fields that cause those northern lights. So when you say, you know, your ancestors and stuff are those in those lights and dancing around, that literally could be true. I mean, scientifically provable true because of the connection. So yeah, it's operating on its mathematics, so the Mayan calendar and stuff is operating on those same. So all this stuff is all, you know, related. It's all connected, and that's how it connects. So it's not surprising, you know, when you find little things, synchronicities or little connections, like what you said with your brother, things like that seem to happen all the time. And you can you can find, you know, not just birth dates, but sometimes I've taken, I had a friend of mine, and we looked up his roommate, then his mom, his dad, and all this stuff, and you could see in the cycles and stuff all the little connections between all of them. And he said that's the way it was in real life. That's what was going on, the good and the bad. And he said, wow, he told me, he said, we could use this like as a family counseling tool. And so, but it was very, very interesting, you know. So there, and I think that's what it can maybe be used for, stuff like that, or for like doing readings for guests on shows, like one I did for you, where, you know, usually all it winds up doing is it just sort of confirms what they already know most of the time. So it's not any,
right,
you know, just, it, at its best, what it maybe do is help them to give them a little extra energy and push to keep going, keep doing what they're doing, give them encouragement. I think that's what it's usually for. That, you know, to let them know they're kind of headed on the right track. Everything's going okay.
Especially the young ones. You know, they're looking for a path, and it's a good way to give them a push. Indicate to them, you know, what kind of things that they should be doing, and or if you've never had a reading and you're kind of feeling like, you know, I'm lost or whatever, and is this the right path? You know, it's that's what's good for, but it really does help if you're going to go out, you know, for seeking a vision. It sure is a good time. It's an excellent time to do on your mind birth date.
Yeah, because what you're doing, yeah, you're connecting your vision or vision quest. You're connecting it literally into the point in the song where you're born, which obviously would be related to the vision or the thing you're seeking. So it puts you in harmony with that.
Are you married?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm divorced.
Ah, I was going to say, if you wanted to do it on someone else, or if you're wondering, you know, maybe, you know, about your mom or your sister or brother or what, or your dad, you know, sometimes it's interesting to do a reading on the whole family, and then you can look back and say, hey, yeah, well, that was right on target. Because it always is.
You know, Otter, you bring that up. I did that for a friend of my brother's. He's Polish, right?
Yeah.
And he was staying with me for a while because he needed a place to stay here. And so I showed him the medicine wheel, the whole calendar of the sixth sun that's on the wall mandala. I showed it to him. I told him a little bit about it, and he says, I don't believe any of this astrology or any of this type of stuff, you know. That's a bunch of crap. And I said, oh, man, okay. And so I said, well, but he was, I said, well, why don't we do it for you, and we'll do it for your mom, dad, your brother, sister. So we did, right? And so I did it, and I showed him on the wall mandala. And all of his family was in the white section of the mandala, on the kind of what would you say the kind of left side of it, right? Everybody was over there except him. He was on the opposite side, and he looked at that. His eyes got big, and he looked at it. He says, "This is exactly the way it is in my family. I'm the black sheep."
Yeah, the black sheep.
He said. There's something to this.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty funny. He totally changed his whole opinion about it real quick. So that's
absolutely.
One. And it wasn't any kind of interpretation or anything. It was just mainly just showing, you know, where they were located. It wasn't any. I didn't have to say anything. I just said, here's where they're born over here. Here's where you're at. Boom. End the story. Anyway.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, we just I was just checking in. We've got a listener that called in, and she's listening, and I want to check to see if she had a question. But so, yeah, what do you think so far, Solomon, about all this?
I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. You speak the same language as me.
That fellow you mentioned that was from Northern Cree, by any chance, was he from Joseph Big Head band?
No. On the Quebec side.
Oh, yeah. I know that the Seven Treaty people, they're in a really interesting position. But I had a friend that was a close friend of his, and he's real active. And we had another elder call in, and he was talking about the tent ceremony. And there's some really, really interesting ways that that spirit works, where you can... you can find out all kinds of things. You can even find lost objects. You know, there's just no end to it. And it's just that most people are unfamiliar with it. They have no clue whatsoever. Very sacred. And continue.
I'm just going to tell you a brief story about my brother that passed away. When he was a kid, he got lost in the bush. And the little people came and see him, got him out of the water. And then the tree opened up, a pine tree. And they brought him in there. And they brought him into another dimension. And he learned about the spider, the fishes, the moose, the moose, the bear, the wolf. And for a long time, the little people were calling him, wanting to go back. But then he went on a fast for 11 days in the middle of the winter to help him remember. But he got sick, and he died of a stroke. And he hadn't finished his work. So at that time, I'm going to do that ceremony to connect with him, to connect with his spirit. You can see him on YouTube. The Story of Turtle Island by Wabmwegin, White Wolf.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
The Story of Turtle Island is pretty good. It's pretty good.
Well, I'd like to know when the Cherokee are going to get their bundle back from Canada. You know, we had the whites call it an ark. You know, it was a sacred box, wicker basket that Cherokees used to guard. 24/7, 365 was guarded by several warriors, and they had special arrows that were bronze tipped. You know, none of our other arrows were, but those were. But anyway, this bundle it got snatched by the Lenape, and they were told that it was taken up. And give it to you folks. And rumor has it, if that bundle ever crosses the border again going south, there's going to be big trouble. So, anyway. Yeah, maybe give us a warning, you know. But, yeah, that's just an old story, and probably true. It's probably true.
Well, in our story, we talk about a sacred bundle. I don't know if that's been found yet, but it was mentioned.
Well, in the old days, where they had like grand councils, and they happened from time to time, where would we understand that there were grand councils at Hot Springs, near Hot Springs, Arkansas. And you'd have, it was an area where Indians would come to gather and meet. But we're told that there might be a lot of talking in there. But if a Cherokee or a Hopi ever opened their mouth, everybody shut up and listened. Because they were called the Twin Fires way back in the old days. And anyway, just something to add to your body of knowledge, and so you'll kind of understand some of the old relationships. And because most people laugh at Cherokees nowadays, and you know, they don't laugh at a Hopi. But we get laughs, and the reason why is the further east you go, the more admixture of white blood that you get. And most Cherokees pretty fair complected, but actually you can get there is a painting, and you can look it up. You can Google it. It's called Genetic Cherokee Sisters, and all the sisters look alike. They have the same bone structure in their face, but one's got black hair and brown eyes, one's got red hair and green eyes, and one's got blonde hair and blue eyes. And they're all from the same mother and father. And even if the mother and father are full bloods, you can have this showing up. So back in 1540, when Hernan de Soto was coming through our country, he was in what is now South Central Tennessee, and encountered the Lady of Kofita Cheki, and he recorded that there were light-skinned and light-haired Cherokee kids running through the streets. So we apparently, you know, started mixing with, and it was actually traditional. If you had a chance to bring in some genes from outside the gene pool, it was a good thing. And we had very strict rules about who could marry, and the way the clan sat around the fire, you actually had to go to a clan across the fire to marry, and you couldn't marry anybody from your clan or either your mother or your father's clan. And that way we kept the nation from falling into genetic disorder. And how they figured that out thousands of years ago, I don't know, but it's very wise. We suspect that there was some connection with and of course we know now, you know, there were people, you know, from all over the world that traveled here long before Columbus and long before the Norse got here. You know, the Chinese were coming. They were coming from Kuala Lumpur. They were coming from Japan. They're coming from all over. But somehow, I don't quite know why, but the Cherokee call the Algonquin the grandfathers. We have another regular guest. Have you ever heard of Mike Bastien?
I heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, Mike lives in upstate New York, and he'll tell you the story about his teacher, Tuscarora, Mad Bear Anderson. Mad Bear used to get the little people come knocking on his windows at night and stuff, and then he would know that it was time to go into spirit, that the spirits and creators land wanted to tell him stuff. So he was in touch with those elementals. But Mike, quick to point out that a few years ago, There was a well-known astrophysicist that came to him, and they've been hanging around for quite a while since then, but this astrophysicist asked him, you know, why is it that your people know so much about the cosmos that we're just now figuring out?
Yeah.
Anyway, tell us some more.
Well, right now I'm just looking at the road they're going to take. There's a split there. Looks like they're going the wrong way. I don't know what's going to happen.
And these are what people are involved?
The Europeans, the big companies.
Oh, yeah.
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 If you can read about the seven fire prophecies, it'll tell you many things.
Well, have
See,
you
in the seven fire prophecies? There's two. There's the fourth and fifth fire that are bound together. At that time, the seven fires talk about an era. And between the fourth and fifth fire was a window of opportunity for us to be able to walk the eighth fire. If they had a split, it would have been eight. But since the two of them are stuck together, which counts as a fire, it became the seven fires. Now we are the seventh generation. And we're supposed to light the eighth fire. So right now, I believe I'm walking the eighth fire because I take the Haudenosaunee's teachings and the Anishinaabe's teachings, then it creates a deeper knowledge of who we were. Because the Haudenosaunee go around the fire counterclockwise. The Anishinaabe go around the fire clockwise. So that's the same thing with the eagle and condor. And now the eagle and condor are flying in the same airspace. So they're preparing to light the eighth fire. But at the fourth fire and the fifth fire, the spirits that were there at the time, they're back now at the seven fires to finish the job. To finish the job that we were supposed to do and walk the eighth fire, light the eighth fire. prepare for the upcoming generations, the new ones.
Yeah, we're really counting on this generation that was born, you know, starting about 96.
Yeah. We
call them Generation Z. They're a different bunch than the ones that are in their 30s now. You know, they seem to know how to get information better, and they think for themselves and don't necessarily like tattoos. You know, they're a bit more conservative, and but that's the way, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth, and we always seem to take a look at our parents and go, hey, you know, I like some of that, but you know, some of that I didn't like, so they self correct. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know what happened in 96, right?
Oh, tell us.
That's when the first buffalo calf was born.
Ah, oh, that's right, yeah. Well, Mark always marks his readings, you know, from, he'll always say, you know, ever since about 96, 98, you know, there's been a change in your direction, and invariably everybody says, that's right.
Well, that's also true of the planet, because at that point in time, the Earth, the way it's the bulge at the equator, what they call the oblateness or the bulginess at the equator, how close the north and south poles are moving either towards or away from each other, that changed in 1998, and it started to reverse. And it's probably connected into the thing with the eagle and condor, or the auroras and stuff, because of the poles and the magnetic poles and the magnetic field of the planets changing, and that'll bring on, that's what, you know, the Hopi talk about, that the two warriors, the serpents at the north and south pole. I can't pronounce the names of them in their language, but one of them is at the north. He's the I think counterclockwise one, and the other one's clockwise in the south. And one of them at the north makes things solid, or brings things into form. Dimensionality and form. The one at the south, he's the one they call Echo. He's the one that it's talks to Creator and the vibrations and the energy moving through. He's the one that kind of initiates that. So he's more kind of what we would call probably condor type of energy or thinking. And but they say that, you know, that when the people aren't really doing what Creator wants and following the instructions, that, you know, the Creator tells the two guys at the poles to let go of the warrior serpents a little bit, and then we get, you know, earthquakes and weather changes and stuff like that, and to get our attention. And they say that, you know, if we don't listen to that and pay attention, then the Creator tells them to let go completely. And then they say that that's when the Earth just rolls over, and we go into a magnetic field collapse or reversal, and then also in history, those magnetic field collapses or reversals are also associated with ice ages, and that's what the Hopi said. They said that the Earth rolled over and froze into a ball of ice, basically.
Yeah.
So, and they're looking at stuff right now very carefully, and they're talking with each other right now here recently. They've been talking a lot with each other and saying, hey, this is what my grandfather told me about these Hopi prophecies. This is what they said. And the other one's saying, yeah, that's kind of what my grandfather said. So there's a lot of talk amongst them right now where they're bringing all this stuff back, and they're talking about it, So I think they're paying attention to the things that are going on, the weather, all the stuff that's going on, and they're talking with each other about it. So I think they're concerned or thinking. I was wondering if Solomon, if your people and elders are doing the same thing. Are they kind of bringing out all this stuff and talking about it a lot more here recently?
There was in our area, there was Grandfather William that used to talk about that in our family. Not much more than that. People wanted to learn, but they've been so far away from it for a long time that they right now I'm working elsewhere in I haven't had the time to sit down with them, but however, there's an interest starting to grow that they want to learn, the young ones anyway.
And it's good for people like you to get out and talk with other nations. So you're picking up information and kind of bringing the story together. That's what it takes prophecies say all the old medicine societies are supposed to be reconstituted, even the ones that are forgotten about. And I've heard stuff like that actually happen. You know, like we know a Creek elder who, in a dream, he was given a name and a phone number of a woman in Africa that he needed to get a hold of because they had information that his Creek ancestors had safeguarded up in the spirit land. And he got a hold of her and found out that she was a woman. She had her own separate little kingdom in the Zulu lands. The Zulu lands are kind of deserty, but this one little place, they always get enough rain, and it's kind of a little Garden of Eden. They called her the Rain Queen. And so he and a few other people went over there, had to physically go to Africa, and they were given songs that the Creek elders that from the time of the Trail of Tears had set up in the spirit world because they knew they were going to get lost. So what you're doing is a good thing. But I hate to cut this short. I've got some pressing things going on here in the house, but we need to wrap this up if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, I'd just like to say one more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
The elders, long time, they told us find the center of the universe. So we start thinking about that. We started thinking and thinking, where's the center of the universe?
Yeah.
So you know where it is? Huh? You know where it is?
Inside us.
Yep.
It's inside us.
That's where you got to go back to.
Yep. That's absolutely true. Well, Solomon, we really appreciate you coming on, and don't be a stranger. And I want to thank Mac Boogaloo, Andy Mac. He's the DJ. He's a fellow that they contacted. Yeah, I guess he met you, and he's working with you on the EachOneTeachOne.com. That's EachOneTeachOne.com, and I'd like to encourage everybody to go on over, take a look, and see what you guys are cooking up. And we'll be talking to other elders that are involved with the H1Teach1.com also. But anyway, unless anybody's got anything else to add, we'll go on to the bumper music. Is that okay?
Yeah, it was nice to share with you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you, Mark.
All right. Well, good night, everybody.
And good night, everybody.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great.
Bye.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Friends, this is Will Blue Otter, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aklavan Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
On the dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away is a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone and the valley. Mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many.